Glory, praise, and honor be to Him who holds us in the palm of His hand, in the palm of His scarred hand, in the palm of that hand that was stretched out on the cross to bleed and die so that He could lift that hand in blessing on our heads. Praise and glory to Him who has given us all so richly and so abundantly. Amen. We turn our attention this morning to our gospel lesson of John chapter 12. Mrs. Cook had been crying for 4 days straight. Max, her 6-year-old son, had been kidnapped. As he had done in the past, he disobeyed her and wandered down the street, far down the street. Only this time, he was kidnapped. A lady 7 houses down saw him climb into the car of a stranger, and off they went. She was heartbroken. She didn't know what to make of it. She had been crying for 4 days. Her mind kept on envisioning the worst. She could picture dear Max in the back seat crying and pleading, "Just take me home." She could see his tortured body lying in a ditch somewhere. She wondered whether people actually sell 6-year-old boys. She cried and cried for days and days. She was out on her front porch crying uncontrollably, feeling like she would never, ever be able to stop crying. And all of a sudden, her tears of sorrow turned to tears of absolute delight. There, before her, was a policeman walking Max up to her doorstep. She got down, she wrapped her arms around Max and promised she would never let him go ever, ever again. Such delight she had never known. She had her son back to her. That is the joy and delight the Heavenly Father felt as Jesus was leading us up to His doorstep. The victory's won. My children are back in my arms, safe and sound again. Such delight filled His heart. God had waited throughout all of time for this rescue plan to be accomplished. Jesus had waited 33 years. Many times throughout His ministry, He said, "My time has not yet come. My time has not yet come." But notice in our text today what Jesus says. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." At that moment, the time had come for God to truly show His glory in all of its vast array. We have so many reasons to glorify God, to honor and praise Him. All-knowing, all-powerful, present everywhere, supplying for all of our needs before we even know we have the need. And yet, the thing that tops them all is that He would send His Son to bleed and die and rise on that first Easter for you and me. That He would spare no expense to recapture us, to bring us back. It was our waywardness, our rebellion, to live in our sin, to live for Satan, that doomed us and torments us and threatens to curse us to everlasting hell. And yet it is the Father's love to come and ransom us and make us His own. And that is why we talk about this time in Jesus' life, His death and resurrection, that this is the hour of God's glory in all of its vast array. What do you think the authorities should have done with that kidnapper of Max? What do you think Mrs. Cook wanted to happen to the kidnapper of Max? Oh, she went to every day of the trial. She was going to be there to keep on pleading as much as she could that he gets the full extent of the law. Ooh, what righteous anger she had. she thought there was no punishment that really rose to the level of what he had done. She was angry beyond belief at him. That is the same kind of anger that God feels over every sin, every sinner, and Satan. What do you think God wants to do to Satan? What is his plan for him who has brought so much misery and suffering into this world, that has afflicted us with so much evil and torture, and so wants people to be in hell? What is fitting for such a Satan as him? Well, that's why God created hell, and why Satan so richly deserves it. We like to think that sinning is no big deal. Small infractions, a slip of the word, a minor infraction. That's never in God's book. Every sin is abhorrent to him and thoroughly disgusting. Puts him in rage over sin. And this too is to his glory. Notice how Jesus praises his heavenly Father. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. Look at the cross of Christ to see just how angry God is over every single sin. There is no such thing as an insignificant sin. Look at the anguish and the pain and the suffering. This is the hour of God's glory because he is bringing justice on all unrighteousness and sin and wickedness. Paul tries to sensitize the Romans to that, and we do well to listen. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but approve of those who practice them. Does any of that long list of wickedness apply to you or me? It's kind of amazing for Jesus to be praising God in his glory for coming in judgment on such sins. It's almost as Jesus is saying, Father, glorify your holy name by punishing every evil and every evildoer to the fullest extent of the law. Come in your holy judgment and pour out your righteous wrath on all those who do wicked on the face of this earth. The King of heaven and earth has come to judge, and it is glorious. Mrs. Cook gushed, thank you, to the policeman who brought Max to her doorstep. You saved my son. How can I possibly thank you enough? But the policeman said, Mrs. Cook, I'm not the one who saved your son. That was a different policeman, and he died. As he was rescuing your son, he was shot by the kidnapper. Mrs. Cook went to his funeral. Went to his funeral to honor him. She cried tears again, tears of sadness and tears of joy all over again. Sadness to see his dead body. Tears of joy to see her son with her again. Such a mix of emotions. This Lenten season, we'll be going to a funeral too. What honor. She promised that she would always hold this officer near and dear in her heart. She would never forget his name nor what he had done for her son Max. Jesus was preparing for his funeral. He saw what was coming ahead of him. He was walking that road, and only moments away, he would not only see the glory of God in all of its full array, he would also see the anguish and suffering he was about to go through. He knew the betrayal. He knew the spitting in the face. He knew the slaps and the punches and the thorn of crowns. He already knew how his back would be lacerated with the whip, how the spikes would pierce through his hands and feet. He knew how he would suffocate to death and how he would bear the anger of the Lord God Almighty for all the sins of the world. He would be the one to pay for that curse. It all laid out before him. And what did he say? Now my heart is troubled. Troubled to the point where he will get to the point of praying for this cup to pass from him, if at all possible. But no, Heavenly Father, your will be done. My heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. In this hour of God's glory, the Son of Man will be lifted up and draw all people to himself. Look to the cross to see the enormous love our God has for us. How that must have wounded and hurt him, and yet he went forward. How hard was it for the Father to pour out all of his holy wrath on him so he could spare us? How many tears did he shed to see his Son hanging on the cross, dead, this Son whom he loves? And is that not to his glory that he did not withhold his Son, but gave him up freely for us all? Does not the Heavenly Father deserve the greatest of glory and honor and praise? And also the Son, that he would willingly keep on walking one foot in front of another, knowing what was awaiting him, knowing the torture and the anguish and the rejection by his Heavenly Father, the hell he would endure so that he could give us paradise. And yet the Son's purpose for living, Father, glorify yourself. But we don't honor a dead hero. We very much honor a living hero. Christ rose from the dead. And that means everything. That signs and seals our salvation. He rose from the dead. And so how do we glorify a living hero who has ransomed us and rescued us from our captive, who's taken us from the dungeons of hell and given us the paradise of heaven? How do we honor and glorify such a glorious God as this? Well, we don't do it by returning to our wicked dance with Satan, by feeding our sinful nature and doing everything that is perverse in the eyes of our Lord. No, we give him glory and honor by listening to what he says. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. We honor him when we truly come clean and repent of our sins, renounce all those things that Jesus has died and paid for, and as we trust him, trust his word and his atoning blood for washing us clean. That is what has made us new inside. We honor him when we make choices, choices that are pleasing to him and the Heavenly Father, just as Jesus did. And we walk that road not to please our sinful nature, but to honor our Lord and our Savior, by taking his word from cover to cover and putting it into our heart, our life, our decisions, that we might walk in his light and not the darkness of this world and the lies of this world, that we might take captive every thought, every word, every decision, so that it might only be pleasing to our Heavenly Father to live for him. that we might be as serious as living for him as he was in dying and rising for you and me. That's the honor he's looking for, that he truly makes a difference in every day and in every moment of every day with our eyes fixed on him. To our amazement, Jesus made a promise to us that is beyond comprehension. How does this actually work, Jesus? What does he say? My Father will honor the one who serves me. Really? Who are we that the Lord should honor us, even if we were to be able to live a complete life of dedication to our Lord? In everything, we would simply just be doing our duty. That's what we're supposed to do. And here he comes and says, no, I will honor you. But Father, you are the one who so deserves our honor. And so whatever way he honors us, with whatever blessing he bestows us, it's beyond our wildest imagination. A supreme delight that we do not deserve. And yet, he has already honored us and continues to honor us, doesn't he? Because he has called us his children. He has adopted us to be his own. Who are we that we should be the children of God? And yet, there it is. We are his children. His blood-bought children. His rejoicing children. To be in his family. Now there's a definition of paradise. That we should be his and he should be ours. What could possibly get better than that? And that is what we are. Because of the glory of our God to ransom and rescue us and save us from ourselves. And we are safe. Safe and loved in his all-powerful, all-loving arms. And he will carry us from here to eternity in those arms. What do we need to fear? And so we rejoice that we have been counted worthy of walking this road with Jesus once again and seeing through the eyes of faith his crucifixion, his resurrection, and the salvation sealed in his blood. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, we thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. May your word fill us to overflowing with joy and praise and a life lived for you to your glory, now and forever, in Jesus our Lord. Amen.